wilderness. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." Somebody say, "Go forward."
Go forward.
Tell them to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. That they may go through the sea. That big old sea they're looking at. Wondering how they're going to get over that sea. How are we going to get out of this? I got Pharaoh on my tail, and I don't have a boat to go over this water. I think I'm between a rock and a hard place right now. What am I going to do? Stretch out. Stretch out. What's that you have in your hand? Stretch out. I want to talk to you today about strategy when between a sea and the enemy. When you're between a sea and an enemy. How many believe that God can advance you beyond the point of impossibility? You have to believe. Only believe. In my prayer time, when I was praying over this text, the Lord spoke clearly to my heart that I want to advance my people towards impossibilities. Things that they see, things that frighten them, I'm going to remove them. They only need to be still. God's plans are not limited to human possibility. He can move us beyond a rock in a hard place. Or when you're painted into a corner, he can get you out of that corner. When you're in a jam, God can get you out. When you're in a pickle, when you're up against a wall, God can get you out. That predicament where you don't know what to do or what you can or how you're going to see your way out. Where you're between the devil and the deep blue sea, or in this case, the Red Sea, or you have to move, but you can't move because you don't have enough money to move. You need to take the job. But if you take the job, it's going to take you away from your family, and the family life is just going to lose its quality. The doctor wants to operate, but he says if I do, it might result in a worst case scenario. You have more month than money, and you don't know whether I should rob Peter or Paul or both. To pay me. Digging a hole deeper. Red Sea situations, those times in life where the devil is trying to cause fear, and at the same time, God is wanting to build faith. Part of the strategies in those situations is revealed in what we shouldn't do. Not always what you should do, but what you shouldn't do. In this story, we see a great miracle performed by God. Remind that person next to you that the same God back then, same God right now. Same God right now. That ought to have been a booster shot for your faith right there. Amen. That should have been a Red Bull for your expectation this morning. Hallelujah. And we need that sometime because a rule of thumb in decisive battles is, although God fights the battle, you still have to act in faith. there's still something for you to do. And God will perform a miracle, but you still have to respond in faith. They still had to move forward through what could be considered an unnerving situation. Yes, it was an unnerving situation. The text says the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind all night long. That could have been alarming. Can you imagine yourself standing out there in a hurricane wind? Come on, I could have done that. No, y'all, you wouldn't have done that. Amen. I mean, that God is blowing this water up in a heap, and it took a strong wind to blow that water up like that. Can you imagine being out there and hearing that wind like that? That could have been a little intimidating, but it was necessary to dry up the seabed. To dry up the seabed, and it was an open door for them. That was their way out. Can you imagine you're looking at all this water standing up in a heap? Amen. And you got to walk through it. Some of us would have said, y'all can go ahead. I'll try going back to Egypt. But they had to go through. It took faith. Although that was a miracle. They're looking at a miracle. But they still had to go through in order to get out. It still takes, even though he performs a miracle, it still takes your faith. God can cause a surgical operation. Although surgery, you know, we get concerned with surgery. I've never been through surgery, never want to go through surgery, but sometimes God will use surgery. Amen. To get you to the health that he wants you to have. God will use Red Sea situations sometimes when the enemy is attacking our faith and God is determining whether we lack faith. God wants to know, can we trust him when we get into that jam where we view our enemy's threat and obstacles to our blessing as an opportunity for God to act? Remember when you get caught between a rock in a hard place, you have to remember that God has the intelligence to create a way. And he has the power. He has miraculous power to make that way occur. And God can make it happen. I know we got to go. Here's some strategies. Let me give you a couple of strategies when you're at a Red Sea. This is what you don't do. This is what we shouldn't do. Number one, never focus on the circumstances. Never focus. In Red Sea situations, our center of attention should never be on the circumstance. Consider it and move on. You can't keep your eyes stayed on it. Don't get stuck looking at what's happening. Look at what God can make happen. Get engrossed in what God can do. Israel struggled at this point where steadfastness was required. Look at verse 10 right there. Verse 10, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They got stuck at looking at the circumstance instead of God. That's what they got stuck. And no matter what it looks like, even when we start to see something that came up from your past, something's coming up behind you from your past, amen, something that happened a long time ago, something you didn't pay or something that you thought was out of the way, that notification letter that you balled up in anger and ignored for years, and now it has resurrected and come back to your life, and now is knocking at your door, those old acquaintances and old deeds that should have been forgotten, but they're on their way back into your life, threatening your peace, threatening your financial stability, and now threatening your new life, and now they want to confront you with an insurmountable, impossible situation that's blocking your way to what's best for you. What you have to do is stay in faith. That's where we need to be. Stay in faith. When Moses told them to stand still in verse 13, he wasn't telling them to do nothing. He wasn't telling them not to move. He was telling them to stand firm. That's stand firm. He wasn't telling them not to do anything. He stand firm. Put your confidence in the delivering power of the Lord. Don't faint. Don't fall away. Just stand still. Stand firm. When we don't know what to do, it's imperative that we trust God to bring us through. God, you ever watch that program, Flipping House? Flip your house. God is flipping our house. God likes to flip our hearts and our minds. You see, the scripture says we were what? Bought with a price. When God bought us with the blood of Jesus, he wanted to flip us spiritually. You see, he knew that on the inside we were spiritually run down, below market value. We were worth nothing. We had no faith in us at all. But God, who is a good fixer-upper, he's a good fixer-upper, amen. God can fix you up, amen. And through his flipping techniques, where he tear downs and builds you up in your most holy faith, we were conformed into the image of his son, amen. We were conformed into the image of Jesus, who is like his father, and God is always flipping us. Yeah. He's always working on the inside of us, amen, rapidly improving our value and making us profitable. He's always putting new stuff in us, amen. He wants to get glory out of his investment. He's always allowing us to go through. God to come and use the hammer of trials. He'll use the saw of suffering. He'll use the screwdriver of affliction. He'll use the tape measure of Red Sea situations to improve you so that God can get glory out of you. He wants to deepen our faith. Sometimes he will let you go and get caught in between a rock and a hard place. Between the enemy and no way out, to prove our faith, because he wants to build our faith to the degree that is pleasing to him. Yes. Amen. The Bible says without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. God wants to create it to where, you know, all impossible situations will now become possible because our faith will be at that level. Amen. So he always is doing an upkeep on our faith. It's very evident that it was the will of God for them to be at the Red Sea. When you read the story, you'll see it. Sometimes following God will lead you to some perplexing paths. I mean, some perplexing situation where it just doesn't make sense. I know God is omniscient. He knows all things. But sometimes, God, it just don't make any sense to me. Amen. I don't know why you had me leave this good job in this wonderful city to go to another city where I take a lesser paying job and don't know where I'm going to live. I don't know why you did that, God, but he got to do it. Amen. When he lets something difficult or formidable linger for a long time, when he chooses you to go through the storm just to show others that his grace is sufficient and his strength is made strong in weakness, when he tells you to give beyond what you're comfortable giving, one of those situations where Jesus says, like the rich man in Matthew 19:21, Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, or if you want to be mature and acting like God, amen, go and sell everything you have. Go and sell. Here's a rich man. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Oh, God. Sell what? Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. You will have treasures in heaven. I know I have treasures in heaven, God, but what about the treasures on earth? That just didn't make sense. Yeah. Amen. But Jesus said, follow me. Yeah. Amen. If you can give it all up, you can then have it all. That's why it takes the Spirit of God. These types of things are foolishness to the natural man. But when you start seeing in the Spirit, you start seeing what God is doing. Amen. If you try to keep your life, I should not be trying to keep my life. Why should I be trying to abuse my life and take my life? Why should I be trying to? But if you try to keep your life, you shall lose your life. But if you lose your life, you shall keep. See, you got to go into the Spirit to figure that one out. If you just leave that surface and natural, that's going to drive you nuts. Amen. But if you give up your life to Jesus, amen, he will give you life. He promised long life. Amen. So we have to get into the spirit to see these things. Amen. And we have to know that sometimes God will bring us into perplexing situations. Sometimes you'll find yourself in something you didn't even plan. And it just doesn't make sense at all. You didn't plan it. You didn't want it. But here you are right in the middle of it. But what does James say? But the trying of your faith. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Because steadfastness is a strategy for a Red Sea situation. You have to be steadfast. Amen. The Bible says, stand still. Be still, Moses told them. Our spiritual growth and development is one of the best things that our Heavenly Father gives us. Yeah. One of the best things. You will be confident in knowing that God, when trouble comes, when you have knowledge that God is a very present help in the time of trouble, amen, trouble won't trouble you. Right. Because you'll realize that if God is in it, trouble don't last always. Yeah. He said he's a very present help in the time of trouble. So I'm looking around because some help is coming in this situation. Why? Because God is my helper. You can count it all joy, rejoice, and be exceedingly glad because God is up to something. He's up to something. He has to, because his plan will always prevail. Amen. Anybody know that his plan will always prevail? Can you shout glory to that? The second battle strategy we have to apply is crucial, so we won't waver when we get between a threat and a test. Because there's a noticeable shift. There's a noticeable shift, amen, in the feelings of the people that affects their reaction to Pharaoh. You see this noticeable shift. They started feeling this emotion that can be fatal to you when you're fighting the battle with your faith. If this emotion conquers us, we can never be like Father Abraham, who was strong in faith. Romans 4:12 says Abraham never wavered, even thought he was present, even though he was present with an impossibility. He never wavered, even though there was an impossibility presented to him. He never thought secondly about it. If God said it, he can do it. And the Bible says he was strong in faith. God wants to mature us spiritually till we're bold enough to ask for impossible things. That's why I'm getting to the point. I'm getting bold enough to where I'm going to ask for impossible things. Amen. We can ask God for 100%, not 95, not 98, 99 won't do, but 100% complete healing and wholeness. I want it all, God. I don't want no limp. I don't want nothing. Give me 100%. Believe God that a check can come in the mail. Pray God, send me a check. You said that the wealth of the wicked is stored up. Lord, release it. Don't store it up anymore. Release it into my hands. Believe God for promotions on the job. Believe God for zero balances in your credit card. Amen. Let your creditors know that zero balance. Amen. I'm believing zero for zero balance. Believe that God can cut that bill in half. Go and ask your creditors, you know what? I'll give you this much if you take off that much. Be bold enough to go and ask them to do that. Be bold enough to go and ask them, you know what? That interest rate is too high. Take that thing down and let me come to a lower interest rate. Amen. Believe that God can do crazy, impossible things in the natural realm. If God can split water, if he can separate water, amen. If he can turn water into wine, if he can speak, let there be light, and light appears, he surely can come into your situation, turn that thing around, and make it better for you, amen. Anybody believe that? Ask God for the impossible. But here's the threat. The devil wants us to waver. See, that's what Israel did. They shifted in faith. See, that's what happened. They shifted because Israel had left. They had left Egypt triumphantly. They had left Egypt confidently. You saw it. It says in the text, verse 8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were coming out defiant. You see that? They were coming out. That word defiantly doesn't mean like it in the Hebrew like it does in the English, you know, where they were just boldly resisting Pharaoh. You didn't see them resisting Pharaoh. It wasn't that they were challenging Pharaoh. Amen. It wasn't like they were escaping like fugitives, you know, somebody. No, they were coming out confident that this thing is over.
Yeah.
God, that last plague just shook Pharaoh up. And now Pharaoh, well, matter of fact, he's giving us stuff. He's giving us gold and silver and releasing us. Amen. They're coming out confidently, man. It means that word means to be high, to raise or to rise, to be promoted. It paints the picture that Israel was enjoying their freedom walk. They were on their way out of their stuff. Amen. They were way out of their way. They were their way out of bondage. They were out of their way of being in control or under control. They were on their way to pleasant and an easier experience. They are now out of Egypt. They're no longer bound. No more chains holds them. They're confident in God building them up. Seeing that God defeated Pharaoh, they're on Easy Street, Joya Lane, Blessing Boulevard. They're walking to a better place. But God then changes their path. Isn't that something? You get saved and everything going good for you. I thank God that they told me about Jesus. It's just going great for me now. Amen. And then God changes your path. He comes in and gets his compass out and says, I no longer want you to go down Easy Street. I want you to go down Dead End Road. Yeah, it's right there, amen. And God sends them to encamp at the place called Phi-Hahiroth. It's there in verse 2, right there in verse 2. My research indicates it's a place where reeds or tall grass grows. So in other words, God's sending them to a place, I got to grow you. See, I got to make sure you know that I'm God. I got to make sure that Pharaoh knows that there's still a God in Israel. Yeah, that fool changed his mind. Yeah, I had him, but he changed his mind. He wanted to get you back. That's what he wants, to get you back. You were his servant, and now he wants to come and get you back. How many know the enemy is mad because you left him? He's like an old boyfriend, a girlfriend that you left and dumped, amen. He's mad and he wants you back. He wants to mess you up because you dumped him for Jesus. And Pharaoh shook himself and said, what in the world are we doing? We let them go. You mean to tell me, go and get my chariot? And that means a position of power. Go and get my chariot. Go and get my horsemen. Go and get my army. We're going to get them back. And how many know Satan wants you back? And sometimes he tries to make life difficult for you so that you'll do like they did. And we'll see it in a minute. It was better for us back in Egypt. When I was getting high, I didn't have to worry about nothing. Amen. I just get high and I sit on the couch and just let life go by. But now I got to worry about bills because I got to do the right thing. I got to pay everything. The Bible said, oh, no man but to love. I got to pay my bills. And before, I didn't even worry about it. Well, if it was better for you back then, why are you here today? It must be better for you here. Amen. So it means that God sometimes will take you to a place where he has to grow you. Because look at verse 10. But when they got there, amen, they knew it because they went there and they got there. Verse 10, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. Wow. And here it is. Here's the ship. And they feared greatly. They began to panic. Isn't that something? They were coming out. Hey, I'm free at last. Free at last. Hey, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I got my freedom. No more Pharaoh. No. Then they going confidently.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, okay, God changed a little bit. We're going over here. No problem. Get there. Look back. And what happened to all that confidence? What happened to all? See, God knows that's in you. He knows it's easy for us to follow him when things are going good. He knows that. That's easy. But when I need you to go to that project, amen, when I need you to go to that location where it may be a little difficult, will you willingly go? Or, and we'll see how they react. I'll get there, amen. Because it's in the second strategy, amen. Second battle strategy, when you're caught between a threat of the enemy and an impossibility of the Red Sea, the second strategy is fear not. Fear not. Don't panic. Don't let fear overpower you. Don't let fear. The first message, the first sermon Moses preached to him was fear not. Look at verse 13. Fear not. The Lord never wants us to fear. Never. As much as the Lord has given us, he has never given us a spirit of fear. Never. He has never given us the spirit of fear. So if fear comes, it's not from the Lord, because the Bible said he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a strong mind. God won't give you fear because he knows that fear and panic has a way of squeezing some wrong words out your mouth. Yeah, he squeezed some fear can make us talk like a fool in the face of God. It'll do it. They saw the enemy coming up unexpectedly, and they panicked. They went from feeling good about their faith to falling into fear, and they feared greatly, too. It wasn't just a small faith. They feared greatly. You cannot fear that greatly and expect to walk in faith.
All right.
And you can't expect God to bless you if you're not going to walk in faith.
All right.
You can't expect to get the promise if you're not going to go forward. You can't expect God to change that situation if you're not going to go and ask for some change. We have to walk in faith. Here's the thing that with fear and worry. And that's why we're told don't refuse both of them. We're told to be anxious for nothing, and we're told to fear not. Amen. God said in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. The angel of the Lord told Joseph, fear not. Gabriel told Mary, fear not. An angel came to Mary Magdalene and told her, fear not. Jesus told Simon Peter, fear not. John, 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. God does not want us to fear. But look how they acted in verses 11 and 12. Look at verse 11 and 12. Listen to fear causing them to talk foolishly. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Who told them that? Who told them, what have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? I was saving you. Verse 12, is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Don't you remember what we told you? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. Why you want to serve cocaine? Why you want to serve credit cards all your life? Why you want to serve alcohol all your life? Then we tell you, for it would have been better for us to serve the world, to serve that individual that's beating me all the time, that situation that keeps me broke. It would have been better if I kept serving, going to the boat and losing all my money, than to die in the wilderness where God has taken me. To die, think about it, to die where God has told me to go. That's talking crazy there. Because nobody told them that. Fear will cause you to say some contrary things. Amen. Saying things that will discredit the power of God. That's why God rebuked Moses initially. He says in verse 14, 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Why are you crying for help? Tell the people to go forward." That's simple. Just go forward. Because if you only stagnate, why? Because fear will cause you to faint. Fear will cause you to withdraw yourself. Fear will cause you to stay stagnant. Fear will cause you not to go after what God is taking you to. Fear will cause you to be a coward. Fear tries to attack your emotions and deplete your faith. Refuse to speak anything when it's coming after you. Refuse to speak anything except the word of God over your situation. And command fear and panic to leave you in Jesus' name. Cast out fear. Sometimes you just have to tell fear, you got to go. I said speaking contrary to truth can discredit God, damage his reputation among unbelievers. Here's what we need to consider as believers. Whenever we submit to fear, we are actually at the point of having more respect. Oh, yeah, I'm going to let that simmer. More respect. We have more respect when we submit to fear to the enemy. We have more respect for the enemy, for the devil, or that person than we do for God. Because when you look at the fear in the Bible, it often has the idea of reverence and deep respect. More so than dread and being afraid. Most of the time when you see fear of the Lord, it's not telling you to be afraid of the Lord. It's having deep respect for God. So when they saw the Egyptians or the enemy rapidly approaching them, and they started having more respect and dread for the enemy than they had confidence and faith in the authority and power of God. That's what fear can do to us. Fear can cause us to actually think that God can do it. That's basically what we're saying when we fear and we get into fear and we don't want to do it. No, I'm not going to go. No, I'm not going to buy it. No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to tell them. No, I'm not going to ask for it. We are not trusting in what God can do. And the enemy knows that. So we have to cast out fear. Refuse to let fear have place in your heart and mind. Refuse. Make a decision now. Anybody want to make a decision now? You are not going to act on fear or practice fear in any kind of way. From this day forward, refuse to let the enemy plant seeds of fear. Instead, get into the word. Get into the word of God and start planting seeds of faith. Instead of using your mouth to speak fear and panic, use your mouth to speak success. Use your mouth to speak prosperity. Use your mouth to speak love. Use your mouth to speak health. Use your mouth to speak blessing. Confess over yourself that I have the spirit of power. I have the spirit of love. I have a sound mind in me. I have the blood of Jesus over me. I am the Lord's property. Amen. I have Jesus within me. I have the angel of the Lord encamped all around me. I have goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life. Begin to thank God for his peace, that peace that surpassed all understanding. And don't let fear stop you from going forward. Go forward. You may not see how you're going to get out of it. You may not see how you're going to get out of it. Amen. God didn't tell Moses initially how he was going to do it. He didn't tell him how. He just told him simply where he was going. He just told Moses where he was. He didn't tell him how. Look at verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to go forward. He didn't tell him, I'm going to part the Red Sea. Don't worry about it. No, God don't always reveal to you what he's going to do. He just said, go forward. Do you have enough confidence and trust in me to go forward? Do you have enough confidence? I know it looks bad. I know it looks intimidating. I know it looks awful. But are you willing to go forward? I know the threat is big, but are you willing to go forward? We don't need to know all the time what the Lord is going to do. You're wasting your time trying to figure it out. While you're trying to figure it out, He already worked it out. Don't waste time trying to figure it out. Amen. It may seem impossible to you, but with the Lord, what? All things are possible. Just go forward. Just go forward. Get back in school. Go forward and get on with it and get married. Don't let fear prevent you from finding that good thing God has given you, that favor that He wants to give you. Don't be afraid. Go to the doctor. Go forward with the procedure. God can heal you that way. Go forward with the business plan. Go forward with your calling. Go forward with the counseling. God said there's safety in the multitude of counseling. Hold your stamp up and go forward. Take the next step to your dream. Go forward. Hold up what's in your hand. You have a staff. Hold up. Lift up your staff. Lift up the word of God and go forward. Anybody want to go forward? Stand on His promises. You'll be stronger than you've ever been before. Every single word that the Lord has said will come to pass. Amen. If you go forward, amen. Sometimes you won't know what God is going to do until you follow His instructions and just go forward. Amen. Go forward. Don't look behind. Don't look behind you. Forgetting those things that are behind you and press towards the mark. Anybody going to press towards the mark? Press towards your joy. Press towards your salvation. Press towards your deliverance. Press towards your peace. Press towards your healing. Press towards your increase. Press towards your healing. Press towards that miracle. God wants to put you on a path to increase. So lift up your staff. Stretch out your hand. Part that Red Sea. Stretch out. Stretch it out. And I guarantee you that your chapter 14 will turn into a chapter 15. It says in chapter 15 that Moses and the people sang a song unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphantly, triumphantly, gloriously, He has gloriously, the horse and the riders are thrown into the sea. The enemy is defeated.